As you travel the streets of Dublin today, it's hard to imagine that it was once a thriving rural landscape. There were fields and farms, woods and rivers. Alas, mostly all gone now. Some traces still remain in place names or an occasional green space. But one of the strongest links with the city's rural past are the many rivers and streams now buried beneath the streets of the capital. One such river is the Bradog that flowed on the north side of the city. Rising in the Cabra area, it flowed into the Liffey at Ormond Quay. In its time, the Bradog was an important river. It was the boundary between large estates. It provided drinking water for people and animals, as the Liffey was too brackish. There was even a dispute over fishing rights on it in the Middle Ages. Today, it's virtually vanished with little or no trace. Many of the place names associated with it have even changed, and the whole river now flows underground. But it's still there. I first learned of its existence in a book by Paddy Crosby, and then recently Bernard Neary mentioned it in his History of Cabra and Phibsborough. I've been intrigued by the notion that a river could vanish or become invisible, so I set out on a search to see if I could find the Bradog, and perhaps even to see if its source was still there. It's a trip really through Dublin's past and the development of the city. To begin, I foresought the assistance of Bernard Neary. I wanted to start at Ormond Quay, where the Bradog joined the Liffey, but he suggested that we begin by checking some old maps in the National Library.
On the Ordnance Survey map of 1895, you can clearly see where the Bradog water went under the Cabra Road near the present-day junction with Newgrange Road. And you can see where it flowed up towards Begsborough on then Fawcett Lane, but now Fawcett Avenue. And it's difficult to see from this map, but it is possible that it went on up to Liffey Junction and that is the source. But you can clearly see on this map where it went into Cabra.
And it goes as far as Begsborough.
And it goes as far
is
as
that house Begsborough. Still there, Bernard?
Yeah, Begsborough House is still there. The present mansion was built around 1870 on the site of a previous mansion, and a house has stood there in Begsborough from around 1400. Also, you can see on this map that the railways hadn't yet begun to make an impact. The Midland Great Western Railway from Broadstone not having been built at that time. You can see the old headquarters of the Royal Canal and the Royal Canal Hotel. Yeah, the hotel is still there, incidentally, and it's still, you could say, used for the same purposes, in that it houses provincial bus drivers in Dublin. You know, when they come up from the country, they stay overnight there and go back. So you can clearly see how the city has changed. There's the branch of the Royal Canal, you know, coming off down by the State Cinema.
Yeah, that's filled in now.
That's all filled in now.
That's the park. That's a park now.
The basin is still there. The basin is a park now. The swans congregate there. Well, this map here is Cook's Royal Map of Dublin, 1821. Right? And yeah, you can see from here the Bradog. You cannot see its actual source, but it's coming from the Liffey Junction area of Cabra. And you can see where it goes overland to as far as Grange Gorman. And at St. Brendan's there, it goes under the hospital, which was then known as the Richmond Penitentiary. And it came out at the other side of the hospital, and it could then be seen as far as the Broadstone, where the present railway station is, although at that time the railway station wasn't built. It then goes underground, and you cannot see it any further on the map. This is Speed's map of 1610. It's one of the earliest maps on record of Dublin. And here you can clearly see the Bradog water, where it enters the Liffey. You can see where it flowed by St. Mary's Abbey on the way. It is definitely the Broadstone. And beside that, you can see the present day Chancery Street, which was then known as Pill Lane, Pill being associated with a harbour, and that Chancery, Pill Lane getting its name from the Bradog.
Having charted the course of the river on the maps, we then took ourselves down to the quays one fine Saturday morning to begin the trail along the course of the Brad Oak.
Well, here we are now on the South Quays, leaning against our bicycles, looking over at the North Quays. We're looking over at Ormond Quay, and we have our eyes on the spot where the Brad Oak enters the Liffey. It enters the Liffey just there at East Arran Street, which is just facing us. If you can see it amongst the seagulls who are happily dancing around looking for food in the Liffey. I hope they have luck. Behind us is Michael and John's church. Now, the Brad Oak, it's very hard to establish exactly where it rolls, but most records point to Liffey Junction in Cabra, and it flowed from there across the junction of Fossil Avenue and Quarry Road, along Charleville Road, a course down by Ratdown Road, Grange Gorman Lane, under the hospital there, which was formerly a penitentiary, by the Broadstone, and then through the middle of Henrietta Street and Bolton Street, onto Halston Street and Green Street Courthouse, that was formerly Newgate Prison. And then it came down East Arran Street, directly opposite us, that was formerly Boot Lane, into the Liffey. Dylan Cosgrave's book, History of North County Dublin, indicates that as being the place where the Brad Oak did enter the Liffey. John Speed's map of 1610, if you check that, we've already been in the National Library and we had a look at that map. That indicates as well that more or less the area there at East Arran Street is where the Brad Oak enters the Liffey.
When we were kids, you know, and running around the streets here, we used to be fishing in the river, you know, fishing in the river. And we used to go up and get the cod's heads up to the market and put a bit of string on them. Yeah. Just at the entrance here to Arden Street, opposite on the river, there was always a catch pit there with stones, you know, around it where the river used to hit that.
Yeah.
And there was always crabs in it. A funny thing about it, you know.
Yeah.
Was that's the only thing at the moment I remember, you know, of that particular,
yeah,
of that particular outlet. But if it is the river now.
The first building over the Brad Oak was in the area of East Arran Street, Ormond Square, and the Corporation Fruit and Vegetable Market. Nobody's really sure when this happened. It could be a very ancient development or be as recent as 300 or 400 years. Claire Sweeney of Dublin Corporation Drainage Department had some stories about this for us.
2 or 3 years ago, when the road construction section were resurfacing and renovating the Chancery Street, I warned them that the course of the old Brad Oak passed nearly opposite the vegetable and fruit market entrance, and to watch out for any problem that might arise there when they took the surface off the street. And sure enough, when they went down on the base of the road, we came across this old culvert, which was in the order of about 15 feet wide and something like 6 or 8 feet high, although a lot of it was silted and was untravelable to some extent, particularly northwards towards the vegetable market. But if you turned around and faced the Liffey and went southwards, that you could actually travel beneath the houses at Ormond Square, where it eventually resolved itself into a pipe and couldn't be travelled any further. This had very little cover on it, something or other, about 21 inches or thereabouts, and the paving department, or the roads construction section, were asked to make it secure for heavy loadings, because this would have been a problem. Some years ago, say 12, 15 years ago, or less, 10 or 12 years ago, the vegetable and fruit market had a dropped area where they put in these skips for to take refuse from the market, such as old cabbage stalks and etc. and waste fruit. And this was open to the sky, and this dropped area, which is the size of a normal room, would collect water in heavy rainfall times. And they asked us here in the drainage department to provide a gully connection to the sewer in Chancery Street. When we opened down on the where we proposed about the gully, we came across a big stone slab and a sarcophagus underneath it when we lifted the slab and found what we believe was the grave of some old monk from St. Mary's Abbey, and might be even the abbot, I think Leif was his name, Eamon MacTomas probably refers to Leif as being one of the origins of Clonleaf, the seminary, or the Clonleaf Road. But I understand from the lads on the job that they didn't tell anybody, but just connected the gully into this sarcophagus and didn't go out to the streets with the connection and covered it over, and there he remains to this day.
We're now in Green Street, and we have the fortune that Dublin Corporation are carrying out sewage works here, and we can see down below where obviously it's flowing at the moment. Obviously this is the course of the Brad Oak. It would have come from Halton Street under the Green Street Courthouse, formerly Newgate Prison, and it would, you can see it actually flowing there. I mean, that pipe there is dry, nothing has flown through it yet, obviously indicating that this, as a sewage pipe, it's not in use at the moment, yet the water is flowing, so more than likely this is the Broad Oak, and you can see the manhole covers. There's one there, and they go down East Arran Street, Little Green Street and East Arran Street in a line. So obviously this is the Brad Oak, and it would correspond with what's been said by Dylan Cosgrave in his book on the history of North County Dublin. You can still get a rural flavour from the city centre, from this side of the city, from the markets there. The people on this side of the city seem they're much different from the people on the south side. You know, at one stage, the heaviest concentrations of population in Dublin City would have been this side of the North City and the Liberties area of the South City. That's where the main concentration of population would be. And the people on the South side would have engaged in, you know, the linen trade and flax and that. And the people on the North side, they engage in the fruit, you know, importing fruit and distributing it. And you can get, there's a difference between the slang that the people use on this side of the city. They've got their own slang, their own friendliness, and they're a completely different type of person. And when you go into the markets and interview the people, you will get that, and they will tell you slang words that you wouldn't hear anywhere else in the city. Another indication of the rural aspect of this side of the city is that, you know, just on Smithfield, not far, but it's only a stone's throw from here, the first Sunday of every month, you have the horse market.
Leaving the markets area, we headed up towards Broadstone. It was here that the second major covering up of the Brad Oak took place, but I'll let Bernard Neary tell the story.
Broadstone gets its name from the Norse Brad Oak Stin, the stone of the Brad Oak, and it was here at the Broadstone that the Brad Oak water flowed over a large stone bottom on its way to the River Annalifi. Before the opening of the Midland Railway for traffic in 1847, it was a point of departure for the canal fly or passenger boats to Mullingar and the Shannon, with several intervening places. There was also a hotel there, which I showed you, where the bus drivers, the provincial bus drivers, stay overnight.
What the canal, Bernard, ended here, the Royal Canal, this was the end of it. Really,
that's right.
It?
Well, the Royal Canal flowed down to the docks, into the Liffey. But at Phibsworth, there was the Broadstone branch of the Royal Canal, and that was a cut of nearly a mile and a half from the direct line. It came in there at Phibsborough, down by the what's now known as the Royal Canal Bank, where the library is. Actually, the library's sitting on the old cut of the canal. And it came over, the canal was brought over Church Street on an aqueduct. This aqueduct was known as the Foster Aqueduct. It's known locally as the Aqueduct.
The Aqueduct.
When I was interviewing a couple of old local people about the aqueduct, they were talking about the aqueduct and I didn't know what they were talking about. The first evidence we have of the aqueduct is a print in the National Library. The dated print is 1816, and that's one of the earliest evidence we have of the aqueduct. It was considered a very clever piece of architecture and engineering in its day. And after the docks were closed, after the cut from Phibsborough was closed, the aqueduct served as a roadway over the docks, and you know, it was an entrance into the Broadstone, but it was finally removed in 1951, actually.
In Broadstone Station, Bernard introduced me to Jack Wall, who had worked on the Midland and Great Western Railway, and he began by showing us where the river flowed through the Broadstone.
The river comes down Rathdown Road, across from Carbera, the shopping centre of Carbera, right across and down Rathdown Road. It crosses over Busy Asylum into the railway and then empties itself out into the main sewerage on Broadstone. And what the corporation would be afraid of, that there could be a chokage. That's how they have to come up and
Saying about the corporation coming to clean it?
They have to come and clean it in case that it has blocked the sewer.
And what sort of things, what would be in it?
It'd be old trees and branches and black muck, you know, what you would get out there. It'd be as black as soot. You'd see them cleaning it out. They have to go down with buckets and take it up over the mains.
The railway station here was built in 1850, and the Midland Great Western Railway Company was formed in 1845. And they purchased all the land here from the Royal Canal Company. And in 1850, the building was opened. 10 years later, in 1860, there was major alterations were carried out. And that colonnade that you see just over there as you come in, you can see the building here just over there from the top of the railway station, that was built in 1860. And what they did was they changed the platforms around where the people formerly disembarked. From 1860, they embarked. And where they formerly embarked, they disembarked. They just changed the stations around and added that building there. There was great controversy at the time in that in 1850 it was one of the most modern railway stations in one of the best and most modern railway stations in Europe. And it was great controversy in that 10 years later, why were such major alterations being carried out to what was a modern railway station? But they did it anyway.
You may imagine the chairman, Major Cusick, used to walk from Muir Street up. He'd had a place in Malahoy, big domain there. And he used to come in there on the train, on the northern train, that time. And he'd walk up Edel Street and he'd go into Handlings and buy his fish and all, and come out and walk up along the square. And you know what he used to do? He had leggings on him and knee breeches and a solitary coat and a hard hat. And he was a major now in the army. And he used to go in there with his umbrella on his arm, and the men would be walking on the new road, cleaning it and all. I'll show you the new road. He'd bid them good morning, and his paper in his hand. There was no other way of going to meet only by train. And that passed through Minute College. And the students in them days had the privilege of stopping any train and upcoming train, and they could go from Minute to University College.
Uh-huh. And what about the hunt, though? What about the Mead Hunt?
Well, the Mead Hunt was a big place. That's where all the gentry used to go for hunting all around Mead. It was a great place for foxes and all that.
And how would they use here? Why would they gather here?
Because there was no other means of getting them down the country. There was no horse boxes in them days.
Uh-huh.
Only trams.
Come in this one.
And they come in there through them gates, and they'd be waiting for the train. The train would be out, the buses down there, going out the main road. The salmon used to come up from Galway, and the milk that would come up be the farmers up along, used to be all on that platform there. And also, at the hunt, they used to have a stag hunt. And you'd often find a stag here on the platform, where they'd be at their killing them, you know, and they make it for Venice.
Yeah.
What the gentry used to have years ago, you know, instead of mutton or beef or that, and they were living high.
Here we are outside Broadstone now. I mean, where do we go from here?
Well, we're right opposite the Broadstone railway station. From here, I'd suggest that we go down towards Church Street and turn right at North Brunswick Street and head up towards Grange Gorman, where the Broad Oak flowed down Grange Gorman Lane and through Grange Gorman and under the ground we're standing on here, on down to the Liffey. We'll head down towards Church Street, where Kevin Barry, incidentally, was arrested on the 20th of September 1920 to subsequently die in Mountjoy Prison on the 1st of November of the same year. And we'll go up towards Grange Gorman, and hopefully we'll find some indication of where the Broad Oak flowed through that area.
All the indications we had were that the Broad Oak flowed in an unbroken line from Cabra to Ormond Quay. But in Grange Gorman we came across a surprise. After crossing the North Circular Road and reaching Grange Gorman, the river split in two. Now, the only clue to this was on Speed's map of 1610. This map is generally vague and we hadn't given it much attention. Brian O'Connell, the architect of St Brendan's, explained how the building of the North Dublin Union Workhouse had to deal with the Broad Oak, not at Broadstone, but at North Brunswick Street.
Our first connection with it, in fact, comes in 1775 with the building of the first North Dublin Union Workhouse. Now, that Dublin Union Workhouse was set up under an Act of the Irish Parliament of 1771, which was passed to give powers to appointed governors to set up institutions to control mendicancy and to provide a shelter for the homeless. Now, this was set up, and the corporation, the first Board of Governors was set up in 1775, and they proceeded immediately to acquire a site on North Brunswick Street for the purposes of building a house of industry. Now, they built that house in the year, they commenced in 1775, and it's still there. The building they built is still there, and it's part of the Richmond Hospital, and it's part of the Richmond Surgical Hospital, now known as Ward 5, and part of the administrative buildings. In fact, the Broad Oak River runs underneath that building and is culverted underneath that building. So it passes underneath that building, and it proceeds westwards. It passes under, then, the boiler house, the present boiler house of the Richmond Hospital, the Richmond Complex, which is a 19th-century building. Around about 1940, there were problems with the culverted section, the old culverted section, dating back to 1775, and a bypass was built in, which, in fact, diverts the line of the river around the old buildings, through the Richmond Yard, down through what's known as the present funeral yard, back out into Brunswick Street, where it links up again with the original line of the culvert. So that's the first part of the river, and as I say, our first connection with it dates from 1775.
This section of the Broad Oak now flows from North Brunswick Street under Red Cow Lane and Smithfield to join the main Dublin Corporation sewer flowing along the quays. As we were later to learn, this section probably now contains the main flow of the river.
The Broad Oak River runs underneath westward into the grounds of what is now St Brendan's Hospital, Grange Gorman, but which at that time was the site of the Richmond Asylum. Now, the Board of Governors of the North Union, Dublin North Union Workhouse, applied to the then Viceroy, who was the Earl of Richmond, for a grant to, and for an extension of their powers, to set up an asylum for the care of the insane. At that particular time, a large number of people who were coming into the Richmond or North Dublin Union were in fact suffering from various forms of what was then recognised as insanity. There was in fact quite a benevolent view amongst the governors and the profession such as it was at the time that in fact these people were capable of being cured. And there was quite a scientific approach to psychiatry in those very early days. And it was viewed as being something more than mere custodial care that could be given. So that the purpose of the memorandum which was submitted by the Board of Governors of the House of Industry to the Earl of Richmond was for funds to purchase lands and for permission to erect an asylum for the care of the insane. Now this in fact they did by a memorial of 1809. The Earl of Richmond, in receipt of that memorium, granted the permission, but he also required the Board of Governors to acquire further lands westward, again of the site that they proposed, for the purposes of building a penitentiary, a general penitentiary. In fact, this was later defined as being a female penitentiary, and it was intended to be the principal women's prison for Dublin. Now, at that time, Francis Johnson, who I think would probably be regarded as the first and probably the greatest of the native Irish architects and the master of the classical period, was architect of the Board of Works. Johnson had been born in Armagh in the latter part of the 18th century, and by the turn of the 19th century he was the principal architect of the Board of Works, and by that time quite an experienced designer. Now, the site that he was concerned with here, to the west of the existing Richmond Hospital, is the site through which the River Bradogue passed, and as far as we know at that time it was open. It was then culverted in the year 1809 during the construction of the lower house and the construction of the penitentiary, which were roughly simultaneously, and that both of these buildings were completed by the year 1816. So that between 1809 and 1816 we know that that lower part of the Bradogue was culverted, and to this day it still runs underneath both of those buildings. It has been opened from time to time during construction, and we know it to be at the moment a fairly large oval shaped brick culvert with a very high volume passing through it, because it does appear to be acting as a sewer for the for the sector, the northwest sector of Dublin, or at least part of that. Now, tracing it back underneath it passes underneath the governor's house of the original asylum, and then it passes under a wing to the west, or to the north wing of the old asylum building, passes on underneath the laundry of the old asylum building, passes underneath the boiler house, which is the present east side boiler house for the St. Brendan's complex, and proceeds on up to the top of the site, in other words, to the northeast corner of the St. Brendan site, and at that point it turns sharply to the west, and it proceeds underneath the return wing of what was the old women's prison. It then passes out into the Grange Gorman upper, where it meets a point, or at least it meets a fork at that point, and the river appears to have divided there at some stage, part of which, and perhaps the major limb of which, runs for a short distance parallel to the culverted section to which we've just referred, and then turns off underneath, or passes not quite underneath, but out past the south end of the Broadstone.
We've seen how the river flowed through Grange Gorman and Broadstone. Outside now the walls of Grange Gorman, looking back, Bernard, what strikes you here?
Well, a few things strike us here. If you look at the lie of the land, if you look north, you'll see where, you know, the land is much higher than here at Grange Gorman. Grange Gorman is sort of in a valley.
Yeah,
and you know, looking north, you can see you can nearly see the course that the river took. You can see the gap in the houses there on the North Circular Road between 243 and 245, and you can see where the river would have come through there and along here by the wall of St. Brendan's.
Yeah.
You can see the twists in the wall, where, you know, I think that's positive proof that the river flowed along here. You know, the twists in the wall indicate that the foundations of the wall had to follow the course of the river. And the river would have come right along the boundary wall of St. Brendan's to Grange Gorman, and then just it would have gone under the roadway at the main entrance to St. Brendan's Hospital, under Grange Gorman, through the grounds, and there's a wall in the grounds, and you can see the zigzag in that wall in the grounds where the river roughly followed that wall under the Broadstone Gate, what was known as the Broadstone Gate, and then it followed its course across to Henrietta Street.
So the Bradogue then leaves the west side of the site onto the North Circular Road, and again it passes outside the limits of our knowledge. So we have, in fact, traced it from Red Cow Lane, where it enters what became the whole complex, the Poor Law complex, and it, where we followed it passing through the what is now part of the Richmond Hospital, the original North Union House of Industry. We followed it passing underneath the first asylum, the first major asylum, known as the Richmond Asylum. Followed it underneath the old women's prison, across Grange Gorman Upper, back into the later site of St. Brendan's Grange Gorman, and up through that and back out onto the North Circular Road.
Where the Bradogue crosses the North Circular Road was generally built up around the 1850s. Beyond it remained countryside until the corporation began developing Cabra and Cabra West in the 1930s and 40s. Paddy Doyle, whom you heard speaking earlier about the Bradogue at East Arran Street, worked for the corporation then.
I remember, like, when I was working in the corporation and at the potatoes, only temporary in the corporation, doing the survey of Cabra West. No,
When would this have been?
Oh, it was 34. I think myself, now there was a bit of a river there, and I thought it was some of the canal coming in there, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Now
it would be I thought it was a stream coming down the hedging, we used to divide the hedging years ago, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the junction of Quarry Road and Foss Avenue. Just opposite us there is Begsborough House.
This was the one that we saw on the map in the National Library.
That's right, the 1838 Ordnance Survey map. Begsborough House, there's been a Begsboroughs have lived in the house here, as I have told you, from before the 15th century, around 1430, I think it is, the first Beggs came to Cabra. And the present house there that you see was built on the site of a former house back in 1870. Now, just beside Begsborough House was a quarry, and hence the name Quarry Road for Cabra. And you can see this quarry clearly on the 1838 map. And you can see the Bradogue flowing by the quarry.
So what do you think happened to the Bradogue prior to that? I mean, we know that it was there in 1897, or at least it was on the 1897 map, but what do you think happened after that?
It just became part of the city sewage scheme, that's all. I think that they just covered it in.
Once in Cabra, we were close to the source of the Bradogue. All the maps were vague as to where it might be, but it was easy to guess where it couldn't be. Cabra West is bounded on one side by a railway line known as Liffey Junction, and beyond that the ground slopes away, so the source had to be on the city side of the railway. On the other side, Cabra is bounded by the Navan Road, and there are two small streams there flowing in the opposite direction to the Bradogue, so the logical source of the Bradogue is Cabra, somewhere around Liffey Junction.
We're now at Liffey Junction, and
This is where you think it is?
This is where I think it is. We're just approaching the waste ground, just off the where the platform was, where they let the where they discharged the cattle on the cattle trucks, and from the 20s right up until the 50s. The cattle trucks just came in here and stopped. The line would have gone right on down to Broadstone Railway Station, just here at Liffey Junction, and the other line takes you down to Amien Street. Now, I don't think the Bradog went under the railway line, because I've spoken to people in CIE, and they have informed me that the railway line here, when it was being laid, it did not, it wasn't bridged to cover any streams, so the Bradog was on this side, on the right side. So we're on the right side looking for it. You can see here, actually, where the ground is dropping here, and actually over here where I believe is the source of the Bradog, you can see it seems to be quite marshy. Yeah, the ground isn't as solid as it was just back there where we were walking. Actually, now we're walking onto softer ground.
Softer and much more marshy ground.
Yeah.
And it's you can see that all right.
So,
and the plants around here seem to be much more sort of marshy plants. Do you think where we're standing now is somewhere under the ground is the source of the Bradog? We've reached it. We got here safely.
I think we've got here safely, and I think that it is possible that 134 years ago, I think it's possible when that first steam train went by here on its way down to Galway, I believe it's possible that there might have been a couple of kids fishing here in the Bradog. More than likely, because this was a rural area covered in green fields and that, and it more than likely they'd be fishing here at this spot where we're standing while the trains went by.
So there we were at Liffey Junction, standing on what we believe to be the source of the Bradog. How correct we were, it's hard to say, but the final word can go to Clare Sweeney, a man who knows more about Dublin's underground rivers than most.
The source of the Bradog has been changed in recent years. Cabra West, which was built before and after the war, the drainage from Cabra West was taken across the canal to the Tolka at Ballyboggan Road, a Finglas bridge, and most of the catchment then of the Cabra West, which formerly drained to the Bradog, now goes to the Tolka. Originally, the Bradog source spread out to Rathaut Road and as far as the Dominican Convent on Rathaut Road and down to the Blind Asylum on Rathaut Road and some of what is now Neffin Road. The present situation then is that the Bradog ends rather abruptly at Cairnlop Road, where and only in times of cyclonic storms, like a summer storm and that, one in, say, 12 or 15 years incidents, will the surface water sewers overflow into the Bradog.